Hi, this is Sandy Rios, and it's our time to talk together. This is Sandy Rios 24/7. I've been concentrating on the release of these J6ers, and I want to tell you about another one of them briefly. His name is Ryan Nichols. He is a U.S. Marine Corps veteran and search and rescue specialist living with PTSD who has saved countless lives. And this is his attorney, Joseph McBride, who I've interviewed before also. From Joseph, he said, Ryan Nichols does not stand for violence. The entire history of his life is one of service to others. And so then he goes on to explain some other things. But Ryan has been in prison until President Trump released them just, not even 2 weeks ago. And he was on with Greg Kelly. And Greg asked the question, Ryan, how did you feel when you found out you'd been pardoned? And this is what he said.
I feel great. It really feels surreal. I appreciate you having us on so we can share this experience with others. I never thought that this day was going to come. Like we talked about if President Trump was reelected, the possibility of getting that pardon. He said he was going to do that, ran on that campaign promise, and then did that. And it changed our life overnight. It changed hundreds and thousands of people's lives overnight. My children, my wife, my family, and many others. And it's very surreal. And we thank President Trump for doing this for us. Thank you so much, President Trump.
All right. Isn't that sweet? I'm sure you've been watching several reunions with families, some J6ers. It's really a breath of fresh air. And I'm like Ryan. I did wonder if this day would ever come. I'm so grateful that it has. Well, Ryan was on Greg Kelly with another guy named Chris Worrell. And Chris, my friend Marie Goodwin, who's the French war bride, whose son Daniel also was caught up in all of this, who's been on the show with me many times, recommended that I talk to Chris Worrell. We did the first episode with him on just a few days ago, and this is going to be part two. And just to briefly recap, Chris was in the automotive industry. Very successful. He lives in Naples, Florida, when all of this happened and his life just was shattered. He also had a form of cancer that was kept under wraps for 16 years. He'd been taking this medication and it was kind of a mild form. We're going to talk about that. The prison refused to give him treatment. He was treated so abominably that you will hear if you listen to the first conversation with him, Ryan Nichols speaks up and said he watched Chris almost be killed by these guards in the D.C. gulag. Now, Chris and both of them were moved around multiple times, but their life intersected there. Chris was given 10 years in prison, 10 years, sentenced to 10 years. And in spite of his suffering with cancer and no treatment, it's really a shocking story. And we covered most of that in the first episode. But we're now going to talk with Chris today on his passion for cleaning out these prisons, how corrupt the Bureau of Prisons is, and he gives examples of this. And so we're going to follow up with that conversation. But first, you can call us at 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can find us on any social media platform. You can listen to the show on all of those social media platforms, but you can also listen on any podcast platform that you like, whether it's Apple or Spotify, any of them. Or you can go to our home base, which is AmericanFamilyRadio.net, AFR.net, or you can go to my website, SandyRios.com. As long as the abortion pill is legally mailed and taken in all 50 states, no state can be abortion-free. Abortion pills carry distinct risks to mothers and death to babies, and now accounts for over 60% of all abortions. Preborn's network of clinics shine a light into this darkness by offering free services to women considering the future of their baby, including the abortion reversal pill. This powerful remedy can help to reverse the curse of this toxic medication. Preborn reaches into the heart of babies and mothers with God's love and compassion, and to date, they have rescued over 300,000 babies. Your tax-deductible monthly support of any amount is crucial in the fight for life. Everything that you give goes toward life, and together, with your giving and the work that Preborn is doing, we can reverse this horrible curse. Saving babies isn't just about one life. It's about saving the heartbeat of the entire nation. To donate, just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Well, all right, so today is Chris Worrell. It's his turn to talk. He's the J6 prisoner, one of the many, that was just pardoned, fully pardoned. It is really a miracle. But I would say Chris is one of those who has suffered, I think, maybe as much as anyone has in prison. He's lost everything, including his health. He came out with a stage 3 cancer, entered in with a low grade that was under control, and withheld from medicine, and also lots of injuries that Julie Kelly in a clip shared with us. So that's some of the background on this. And you need to listen carefully because Chris speaks slowly and deliberately. But you have to understand all the problems that he has faced physically and every other thing. So you need to listen carefully, and I know you will. And it will be worth it as you listen on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
What I understand is that one inmate, this is according to the story, would not put on a mask. And so the officers, the jailers, sprayed mace or some type of gas at an inmate and kept missing. And they just kept spraying it into the cells. And then it got into the air filters. And the lady...
this may have been before. This may have been... So a few things, you just heard some memories. A few things happened in that jail the day as I got removed. And this sounds like that this is part of that time. So you remember I was abruptly removed out of there. It was either the 4th or the 5th. I cannot never remember the day.
Okay.
And taken down the road to Alexandria. At the same time that day, one of the guys was on the way back from a legal call, a legal meeting and that, and he was abused. I'll leave it at that. There was a few times, there was lockdowns. My situation created a huge problem, and retaliation became a huge issue for a little while there because I was exposing them. I didn't care. They had thrown me in the hole for 16 days right before they got me out of there. I mean, there was all kinds of things. Major Talley had told one of my attorneys, if I file one more grievance, we're going to put him in the hole. And then lo and behold, I end up in the hole, with no disciplinary report or anything. It's just, they did what they wanted to do to us. And violence was part of it. Was part of it.
Chris, let me ask you, okay, as much as you can say, I'm going to ask you, and you can, you know things that I don't, so I'm not forcing you, but I want to ask you. You said they abused a prisoner, and you didn't say what they did, and you didn't seem to want to say. Can you tell us? Can you tell us in a way that can go out over radio? Give us an idea of what you're talking about?
It was physical, mental, and pre-violations. That's all I'll say about that.
We've seen prison movies, and that's the extent of some of us for our experience about prisons. So the hole, describe the hole. What was the hole?
Well, that's where you go, there's different prison terms, depending if you're in jail, in prisons, they call it the SHU, it's basically where you get put in a cell for punishment. You know, if you were to get called a contraband or something, they could put you in the SHU or the hole. And they use it a lot. But for us, there was a few of us that, you know, we would get thrown in the hole because, you know, we wouldn't just comply 100% with some of the stuff they would ask us to do. It was just like one guy, I can remember somebody getting pepper sprayed in their cell because they came to get the laptop with his discovery on it that has 40,000 hours of video to view. But you have to give it back. You just gave it to me. So, a verbal altercation would take place, and then it would they would blast with pepper spray right in the face, close the door, leave you in their cell. If you were on the bottom cell, the cell above you on the top tier got it, and the cells next door did too. And then they would lock down the whole place because they have to, you know, it's just lockdowns. They love those. And then you leave you in the cell all pepper sprayed up for way too long.
So with you, Chris, given that you already had, you know, you had an issue and they knew that. They knew that you had this cancer and they wickedly, sadistically withheld your medication. But did they also beat you? Did they do other things to you? You don't have to tell me what.
I never got a beating, per se, but I'd say I have a rotator cuff issue in my left shoulder where I was definitely physically restrained, and my left arm was pulled up my back a lot higher than it should normally go, and that's at the D.C. jail. You can't file reports on this stuff like that because then now once they put me in the SHU and in the hole, now I'm away from everything. I don't have access to a phone. I'm not around guys that know us, or nor do they care. Like if we're in the pod together, something happens to one guy, we got it covered. But so I had to be careful. In fact, they came to the hole one morning and threatened me at my cell door because right as the contempt thing happened, went down. Threatened my life. Flat out did. They took all his identifying marks, his little Velcro patches off his ERT gear. It was one of the ERT guards. And then lo and behold, I ended up going to an outside medical appointment that day. And then the staff doesn't even know you're not even in the building because apparently lieutenants and captains came looking for me at some point around lunchtime. And I was at one of those rushed outside medical appointments that they would rush me to say, see, we're doing something. We're doing something. That was their cover, smoke and mirrors. They'd rush you to these appointments to see a doctor for a consultation, maybe even get some kind of lab test done. But you get nowhere with it. You go nowhere with it.
This is not really true.
And you don't even do all the tests that you need to do. That was their game. And they kept throwing down the medical records, and the prosecutors were bringing up during all my hearings. Because remember, I went to court 9 times from March 12th to November 4th to go home. Emergency motions to release, go home to doctors. I had doctor's notes from all around here. He needs care, and denied every one of them. 3 appeals denied until that last one.
Chris, let me just—you were on Greg Kelly, one of my favorites. You were on with Greg and your buddy your buddy Brian Nicholson. I've actually—I think I interviewed his wife. I think Bonnie is her name. Sometime along the course of this last several years, but Ryan spoke up to give his assessment. He talked about the fact that you had been in the D.C. gulag for a time together, and he knew you. And this is what he had to say. Mm-hmm. This is his observation of how you were treated. This is clip 9.
I watched them try to kill that man, literally, and I can attest to the torture that was inflicted on him, just like what they're doing to those Jan Sixers right now. So everything that man says is true, because I can attest to it. I watched it happen.
Yeah, I thought that was important. What a good friend, Chris. I'm sure that, you know, one thing is just like kind of being in war. These are guys that will be lifelong companions of the heart. They just will. They'll be your brothers, your band of brothers. One thing, let's change the subject just a little bit. Then I want to get back to more the broader issue of prison abuse, because I know that's really concerning you. I want to help. It concerns me too. I've no idea. In all of I read about you, I have no idea what you did before January the 6th of 2021. What were you doing?
I've been in the automotive industry for, 30 years. Was a master tech, and then became, when I moved to Florida, a manager, and just been running auto shops. That's pretty much what I did for most of my life.
Yeah, children?
I do have a child. He's a man now. He's 19. But I don't see or talk to him.
Does that have to do with what's happened to you? I mean, did you talk to him before?
Yes, ma'am. But since all this, a lot has changed in my family. And yeah, I pretty much don't have a blood family anymore.
Well, we get that. You know, I don't know if you know, this is not to minimize or diminish your situation, but the whole country has been so divided. And this is happening, you know, people who weren't even in J6 are like President Trump. Families are at war, and children can be very, very cruel to their parents. And I guess parents can be cruel back if children happen to be on the other side of it. It has divided families, I think, a lot like what the Civil War did to this country, you know, a couple hundred years ago. But this doesn't diminish when you're hurting like you're hurting. It's just one more sorrow. And so I'm sorry to hear that. Now, your wife, Trish, is this not the father? She's not the mother of your son?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Well, she was sitting next to you, interviewed by Greg Kelly, and this is what Trish had to say. Let's listen. Let's have a word from her for a second. This is clip 10.
The January Sixers were so unfairly villainized, demonized. These were the worst. They lumped them in with ISIS and Al-Qaeda terrorists. You heard that. I'm assuming you heard that. I heard that day after day. Well, what did that do to you? Did you find that demoralizing?
Yes, I had death threats at my house, drive-bys, all kinds of different things. It was exhausting, extremely exhausting. Lost family members, friends. I lost my job. There was a numerous amount of items that happened. It took us to hell and back, basically. It was a nightmare. It still is a nightmare, but we're on the upside, and we're going to make things right, and one day at a time.
I like that. I like your girl, and she's probably very good for you, Chris. And I'm sure it probably breaks your heart that she suffered the way she has. But how about your circumstances now? Where are you living? Are you in Florida, or where do you guys live?
Yeah, we're still in our residence in Naples. We're just dealing day to day, as my wife said.
But you are accepting. You do need support. You need. Look, how could anybody be without a job and losing everything you have to defend yourself? I think it doesn't need explaining. I think people inherently get that. And I'm going to give your Give, Send, Go account again. That's GiveSendGo/4PatriotSupport. Now, and that's to help Chris Worrell. Do you say Worrell or Worrell?
Worrell, you were correct.
Okay, Worrell. Okay, sounds like a nice British name. But Chris, have you even had a chance, because of all the complications for you physically and just you've just been devastated financially. Have you even had a chance to have a glimmer of what you, God willing, if your body should become whole, what you'd like to do? Is there something that you kind of look toward with anticipation?
Well, yeah, for sure. Right now, my focus is, of course, I've got to survive and try to raise some, make a living somewhere. But while that's going on, my fight, they chose me in this. This is how I see it. They chose me. And for 4 years, I was forced to do it their way. Well, now I have a government, an amazing president, that I believe is standing behind us 100% now. And I think it's my duty to expose this inhumane, there's not even words to describe the immorality and things that I witnessed, both experienced and witnessed. And it needs to be exposed. It needs to be fixed. People, no man, woman, or child should have to go into the custody of some jail or prison and should have to worry about their life. Not at the hands, and especially not at the hands of those wearing a uniform. I'm pretty sure one of the first lines of duty is protection, whether you're medical or an officer. And there's none of that. It really needs to be exposed. I need Congress needs to act on this immediately, the Trump administration somehow, because while there are changes being made right now, I know it. I saw it before we even got out. We saw it. I witnessed. I paid attention. So I know there's going to be retaliation and retribution on the inmates that are still in. And that's what I'm trying to prevent, because lives are being lost in there intentionally. I call it willful economic subpar treatment. It's all for money. You're nothing more than a number. And if you die, they get paid too.
Chris, this hasn't always been the case, but my understanding is the root of this problem, and who would have thought, usually when you privatize something, it gets better. But for some reason, and I don't know the history, we privatized our prisons a long time ago. And that's when it's this is my impression, but I don't know because I haven't studied this issue. Like you, for whatever reason, I don't know how much of a influence this was, but I know that there was a lot of influence from Nation of Islam and others there, like in D.C., they are the guards. And that Christian, like for Christian chaplains and all that, it's not like it used to be when Chuck Colson had his prison fellowship ministry, and you mightn't even know about that, but it was powerful. He went into federal prisons and other prisons, and they had incredible effect on prisoners. And I don't even know if they're in there anymore. So do you think that it's the privatization, from what you have read, do you think that's been the source of how it's gone so very far south in the last several years?
Sure. I think that's a big part of the problem. But I still think the biggest problem, which is the biggest problem for a lot of our problems, is all of these. I don't even know. It's got to be a far less than 1% of companies and businesses in that, across this country, even, that do not have any basis or foundation of God in their day. And that's where we've gone wrong.
That's for sure, Chris. And you know, I used to do, I know you don't, we've never met before, but I've been doing media for a long time. I started in Chicago in the 90s, and that was the early onset. I saw a lot of things happening a lot sooner than that, but didn't really know what was happening. But I just started to see the lack of honesty, integrity, and character. First, mm-hmm. I saw that stuff, then all the sexuality. And then I used to say, you know, this is going to affect every institution. Because if you're trying to, you know, go to the store and buy a loaf of bread and people can't be honest, you're going to have trouble in the simplest interactions. Our system works on an issue, honesty and personal control. It's what our founding fathers said, that we have a democracy. And the only way, Republican democracy, Democratic Republic. And the only way it's going to work is if people, religion and morality are the pillars upon which this kind of freedom can flourish. And it's good for no other kind of people. So what you just said is exactly what the founders said, predicted, and they were right, Chris. And you're right to say that. This is what's happened. So for me, I think the next step is we're having a political revolution, a reformation, whatever you want to call it, but we need a spiritual reformation. We must not stop with this. We have to go down deep and preach Christ. We just have to preach Christ. We do, and talk about righteousness and we need a revival. How desperately we need that.
I guess, yeah, I mean, my testimony to anyone when I got, you know, when you had the moment to, with a certain somebody in the prison that you felt like you could talk, have this talk with, my testimony to them was, listen, I've been a God-fearing man my whole life. But for 49 years, what I left out was a relationship with them. And as horrible as this has been, I guess one of the biggest miracles is that, you know, I now have a relationship. And until you do that, you really don't get, you really lose out a lot on life. That's what I've learned.
Yeah. Well, the central part, the meaning of it, the meaning of life, the meaning of death, the meaning of suffering, life, having children, being rejected by children. Nothing means anything, Chris, if not for Jesus. And, of course, he is the way, the truth, and the life. Truth, truth, truth. The living God has power. We draw near to him, and we draw from that power, and that's what enables us to survive these difficult situations. I hope that you and your wife have found can find some kind of fellowship down there, maybe in a home Bible study.
A great church.
You do?
Worship Center here in Naples is a great church. Pastor Craig, he's a great brother.
Oh, thank God for that. Thank God for that. What's the name of the church again?
Eagles Nest Worship Center.
Oh, I love that.
Mockley Road.
Okay, I love that.
Pastor Craig Canfield is my pastor.
Yeah.
And him and his whole family, his sons, the whole family, just great. It's just a great place. Everybody that goes there is just great people.
I think maybe we should bring all the J6ers down to Florida. I think this is the state where they can heal, don't you? If there's any potential of that.
Yeah, they'll definitely have support at my church for sure.
Yeah. Chris, is there anything that you wanted to communicate about? Have you said all that you, because I want to give you that chance. Is there a last word from you, something you want to add to what you really wanted to share this morning?
I'm looking for people to reach out, like senators, Congress. I need to hear from people. They need to sit down and talk with me about this and help and do something and save lives.
So you're asking if you would love to have an audience with someone in Congress to tell them what you know. Is that correct?
That's right.
All right.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Well, then maybe some of us can help that happen. And
there's plenty of evidence of it, and I have some of it.
Okay. All right, Chris. Then I'll try to do something about that. I promise you I'll try to do something about that. And maybe others listening will have a way to do that, too. But listen, give your wife, Trish, a hug from me. I know she doesn't know me, but you guys will be in my prayers. And people love you guys. I know the world is filled with hate, but I'm telling you, people love you guys. Anybody that has a heart for truth loves you guys and cares for you. And so I want to ask those of you listening to maybe show your care by going to givesendgo.com/4, the number 4, Patriot Support. givesendgo.com/4, Patriot Support. Chris Worrell could certainly use your help in any way you can give it. And God bless you, Chris, and it's been great to talk to you. And thanks for making yourself available. Listen, if you keep in touch, if you get something happens, or if you have another need, just let us know, okay?
I'd love to get on the show anytime. You're welcome. And Sandy, thank you so much for the fight.
Okay, my pleasure. All right, Chris Worrell, this is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
As abortion continues to rise, Preborn is expanding their life-affirming care in the darkest corners of our nation to help more hurting women and save more babies. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $15,000 will place a machine, an ultrasound machine, in a needy women's center, saving countless lives for years to come. To donate, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
The Biden DOJ got Paula Harlow, a 75-year-old woman in poor health, sentenced to 2 years in prison for singing. She was singing beautifully outside of a clinic. Paula is one of many peaceful pro-lifers who Joe Biden has rounded up, sometimes with SWAT teams, and thrown them in jail. Many people are in jail over this. This is just crazy. We're going to get that taken care of.
Yeah, so the J6ers weren't the only ones that were pardoned. It was also these pro-lifers. It's amazing, isn't it? How President Biden and his Justice Department rounded up these elderly people, and they were mostly elderly, who were protesting in front of clinics by saying the rosary and singing Ave Maria. But it was a violation of this act that I remember so well, the FACE Act. I remember when it was passed. And it was supposed to be freedom of access to these clinics. It was supposed to be pro-life facilities as well as abortion clinics, but no one was ever prosecuted for attacking, pro-life or pregnancy centers. Never happened that way. It was always pro-lifers who were charged. Well, Paula Harlow tells a little bit of her story, and it sounds a lot like a little bit of our discussion with Chris on how they were treated when it came to just worshiping, just being able to worship. This is clip four.
Your attorney said she is requesting that the court allow her the privilege of going to church. Were you shocked to hear a representative of the federal government say you should be unable to go to Mass?
What I was surprised at is that this was really targeting my religion, my faith, because if they had just given me an ankle monitor, I could go within 3 miles of my house.
Did they give you any reason for denying you the ankle monitor?
They just didn't want me to go to church.
That's the voice of Kayleigh McEnany, who did this great interview with them. And a second woman, whose name I didn't catch, describes the use of shackles. I just want you to hear, because Chris is talking about the mistreatment in our prison system. These are older women. One of them that I heard interviewed, not in this clip, was 90 years old. 90 years old. All right, well, here's the story of this woman who was interviewed by Kayleigh, and this is clip five.
The lawyer said he'd never in his entire career seen a spouse offer to go to prison
take
with his
place.
Wife.
Well, take my place.
Take your place.
And I just thought, in prison, I don't know if she could survive that. And if she had to go, I wanted to be there.
My sister Jean had called from prison and said, you can't come in here. You won't make it.
And then you were describing for me the way the shackles felt. What was that like?
It felt like razors on my ankles. And nobody told me to wear socks or pants so that they wouldn't cut into my skin. It felt like my skin was being cut.
Did you ever ask yourself, why God?
No. We had a Bible study going, and a couple of the women joined, and they were so enthusiastic. Mm. They were so thankful. And one of them said, now I know why I wound up in prison, so that I could hear this Bible study.
All right, so at the end, that's the voice of Kayleigh McEnany, and that's actually Paula Harlow's sister. She was the one who jumps in about the shackles. You also heard her husband loving his wife so much that he begged the judge to send him to prison with her. So it's an amazing story. And then there was a third gentleman. His name was William. Boy, did he have a story. But this is a little drop-in. He was talking about the treatment that he got in prison, at least in part, and this is clip six.
Yeah, where I was in Bravo unit, it was actually a unit that had been condemned. We went over 2 weeks without toilet paper, and some of the guys mentioned that some of the men who were there with gender dysphoria wearing dresses, they could get mascara, lipstick, and perfume, but we couldn't even get toilet paper or basic needs, so there was a lot of neglect. Mm.
All right, so this is a totally different prison, same prison sentence, and also, you know, now these are pro-life prisoners. This has to stop. There's no question about it. It has to stop. I want to bring Bruce in just for a short comment on this. Bruce, I know you've been as appalled as I am about the treatment of these pro-life prisoners.
Yes, it's really mirrored in many ways the treatment of the January Sixers. And, you know, Merrick Garland has made these people, the abortion center protesters, another one of his pet projects, and I don't mean that in a good way, pet projects to arrest. And I found one of the most fascinating things ever that I've seen in my life that happened in a hearing involving Merrick Garland, the attorney general, when he was being questioned by Senator Mike Lee of Utah. And Senator Lee asked Garland why the disparity amongst how many people have been arrested under the FACE Act for disrupting an abortion center, but yet seemingly no one has been arrested for firebombing, attacking pregnancy centers. And believe it or not, the Attorney General of the United States says, well, you know, people that attack the pregnancy centers tend to do it at night, and it's hard to catch people who commit crimes at night.
I do. So they're
flabbergasted.
Yeah, flabbergasted. Well, you know what? I think I want to jump to a different clip because there is some good news in all of this. As we're speaking, last Friday night, it was like a night from hell for justice and FBI. And I want to play this clip from CBS. And they'll tell us the wonderful details of what happened. Here it is.
Significant changes are happening right now at the FBI. Top officials have been told to retire resign or be fired by Monday. Justice Department reporter Jake Rosen is here now. Jake, catch us up on the details.
Well, that's right, Major. It started on Monday when the Department of Justice, an interim head there, decided to fire about a dozen officials who worked on Jack Smith's team. He is, Jack Smith, as you'll remember, is the special prosecutor who investigated Donald Trump's post-2020 election actions in addition to his handling of classified documents. We're now seeing that same move to kind of retaliate while there are no actual heads of the Department of Justice and the FBI today. CBS News can report that the teams who investigated the January 6th attack at the Capitol at the FBI, in addition to the FBI agents who worked on those two Jack Smith probes, which obviously resulted in no real court case or charges against Donald Trump that really went to court. We've heard that those teams are being fired by the end of today. And potentially there's a list of other agents going through the FBI and Department of Justice right now who, again, like you said, are being told to retire or be fired by the beginning of next week.
And as I understand it, Jake, in meetings that the FBI Agents Association had with Kash Patel, who has gone through part of the confirmation process this week on Capitol Hill, he and others assured them that this would not happen, yet it's going on.
Yes, and this was promised by Kash Patel out loud at the hearing yesterday, publicly in front of television cameras, reporters, and senators. He said that there would be no retribution while he was in charge of the FBI. Now, obviously, the caveat to that is Kash Patel has not yet been named the head of the FBI. There's currently an interim head now, same as we saw with the Department of Justice, that this kind of purge that we've seen this week since Monday into Friday now has really come with these interim department heads, so that Pam Bondi, who is likely to be the next attorney general, and Kash Patel, who certainly seems headed to be the next FBI director, kind of have cover by the Trump administration to kind of do what Donald Trump has said all along for the last two plus years. He intends on retributing and going after really a lot of these people who he sees as problems within the government and intelligence agencies.
Jake Rosen, thank you very much.
All I can say is, yay, it's about time, honey. That's just such great news, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess the Democrats maybe learned a lesson about delaying the confirmation of these people, if they really thought this, you know, the timing, of this is great because Kash Patel has not been confirmed as the FBI director.
So he has nothing to do with this.
He is not doing this. This is President Trump. Oh, and that's great because that's what President Trump said he was going to do. Maybe Kash Patel didn't say that, but President Trump certainly did. And, you know, I'm sorry, but we have more than abundant proof from their own mouths in many cases that many people at the FBI, especially in upper management, but actually all throughout the ranks, violated the Constitution and willingly did so when the target was Donald Trump.
They surely did. So heads are rolling at the FBI. They're so upset. One of the things that happened was the acting director, after Christopher Wray stepped down a few weeks ago, has been moving people that were involved in this, like changing their job titles and trying to like confuse. And of course, there are people inside that are blowing the whistle up and down, and they know about this. The Trump administration knows, and they knew exactly who to get rid of, and also how it was done by sleight of hand, illegally, really.
Yeah, the FBI tried to subvert this from happening by taking people who were appointees who did not have job protection and transferring them into job positions that did have protection before Christopher Wray left. And I find it rich also that the FBI Agents Association, of which I was a member for many years and got so fed up with them that I quit them about halfway through, because most everyone, it's not a union, but it's just an association that was supposed to be able to bring grievances and things forward. But what I can tell you is they were nothing but a lapdog association that loved to be given photo ops with the director. They loved to be at the golf tournaments in the various places that the FBI would have golf tournaments out in California and such. It was nothing more than a shine them on type organization. They never were. They're not worried about what's going on with these guys.
Well, and you've seen that a lot of agents, but a lot of retired agents have been very worried, right? So, and as I understand it, there's tons of whistleblowers we don't know about, and so from the inside. So it's happening, ladies and gentlemen, it's happening. And now what Chris was talking about was the exposition of what's happening in prisons. And that's what he's going to be working on next. And we'll talk about maybe that we can do another show on that at a later time. Honey, thank you so much for joining me. Well, I hope that you've, I don't know, enjoyed is not the word, but I hope you've been encouraged. As a matter of fact, I want to play one more clip to help you be encouraged, because the theme when we talked to Chris and the theme when I talked to all of these guys seems to be, and all of the pro-life prisoners who've been released, seems to be a theme of redemption and God. And just to cap it off for today, this is William, who talked about having no toilet paper. But he was, and by the way, he nearly died in prison himself with the treatment. But this is what he said when, how he felt when he was pardoned and what happened. This is clip 8.
So did you get a call, or you found out on TV?
Yeah, we found out on TV.
You found out on TV?
On TV. Yeah.
As fast as I could with my concussion, I made it up the 3 flights of stairs into the TV room, and there all the guys were watching Fox News, and they said, "You just got pardoned," and they're shaking my hands. 60 guys in the unit all start cheering and applauding, and I was like, this is just such a joyful experience. And many of the guys in there were full of joy, too.
Full of joy. How can that be? And yet that's what God is doing. So we just pray for that kind of wholeness and joy for Chris. I know he has it, but he needs some tangible, physical relief in order to fully embrace what God has just done in his life. And so we pray for that. Well, I want to thank our sponsor, Timothy Plan, because they teach you how to put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy, or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.